It is Tuesday and time for your favorite YouTube show, Heard Online, a series of videos where you take a critical look at claims made on the World Wide Web to see if they are true or they are false. And today I am super, super happy. I actually came across an article that just made me feel all warm and bubbly inside, filled with hope. Such hope as I've never had before. I believe that we actually have a chance at making that dent in the sleep universe. Maybe we can actually do that. And so I'm really, really happy about this. And I'll share with you why in a second, of course. But just a quick backstory. Yesterday, I was just minding my business and I saw a DM from a direct message on Instagram from one of the members of our community here, Paul, who said, "Hey, The Guardian actually had something nice to say about sleep," and that made me curious. So I headed over to The Guardian, and what do I see? Well, I saw an article titled "Want to Get a Good Night's Sleep? First of All, Stop Trying." Seeing that was like, wow, this is different. Almost like it's almost shocking when you see something so different in, you know, mainstream media. And that made me really curious. So the next place my eyes went was like, okay, who wrote this? And what I see, Camilla Stoddart wrote the article. And that's when I really started smiling. And you know, you may be like, why did you smile so much when you saw that? Well, I'm about to share you exactly why that happened. And we're gonna head over to our own alumni page. And guess who's there? Camilla's there. Camilla's actually one of our own sleep coaches. She's actually the first ever coach to certify through our program. So I was just so glad to see that, you know, that she got published in The Guardian. I was happy for her, happy for the movement. And she had actually mentioned this, you know, in retrospect, I remember that she was working on an article in The Guardian, but I, you know, I forgot about it until I actually saw it. So yeah, super happy about that. And now let's take a look at this article where Camilla goes over like seven insights that can help anyone who's had trouble sleeping. And as you know, we will start, of course, with our triggerometer. So we rate from 0 to 5 the title of an article. 0 is not triggering at all, and 5 is the most triggering. Want to get a good night's sleep? First of all, stop trying. To me, this is a 0 or maybe a -5, not triggering at all. Beautiful, beautiful, reassuring headline, you know, intended to really educate and help someone who reads it. Now, let's jump in here. So she's saying, oh, the intro here says 7 expert and unexpected tips for people who have already tried everything. And then Camilla says, "As a sleep coach, I regularly meet people who have tried everything to get more sleep. They have read every article on the subject and devoured every tip on the internet and then adjusted and readjusted their routines based on the advice they have found. Many of them are doing all the right things, spending time winding down before bed, curbing screen time, meditating, but still they struggle. The problem is that when it comes to sleep, unlike most every other area of life, effort is not rewarded. In fact, it is actually punished. The more you try, the less you're likely to succeed." And this first paragraph is like maybe the, you know, most insightful thing that has been written in mainstream media about sleep ever in the history of humanity. I don't know, but it's beautiful. And I think it's kind of like when I was reading this, I was thinking, I hope people who come across this realize how like fresh and different this is. And people aren't like, "Oh yeah, well, what are those 7 tips? Okay, I've heard them before," like blah, blah, blah. Maybe some people will, but I hope at least a bunch of people really read this, kind of ponder it, reflect on it, and see how fresh this is. Let's keep reading. "This is because sleep is a passive process, like breathing or digesting. It cannot be controlled, and nothing we can do can force it to happen. If we can stop trying, sleep will naturally follow. But not trying to sleep is extremely hard, especially when you're exhausted and desperate." That sentence I thought was so insightful as well, and so nice to read, because it acknowledges that what we as sleep coaches are asking is very difficult and paradoxical. It's basically like someone who's like, you know, really hungry saying like, "Try less to eat," you know, it's very, very paradoxical. and acknowledging that it is not easy, I think actually makes it easier. When we say this should be easy, then it's hard, but we see this is really difficult, that actually can be really helpful and make it a little easier. So loved reading that one. And then let's keep going. Instead, I get my clients to shift their attention towards the main causes of sleeplessness, lack of sleep drive, and hyperarousal. Tackling these two factors, which happily respond very well to a bit of effort, can then create the right conditions to allow to sleep happen all on its own. And so here Camilla introduces the gas and brake model and simplifies things very, very much. Like, you know, either we don't sleep because we don't have sleep drive or because we're hyper aroused. And I think she also does it so well when she's kind of a little bit tongue in cheek here, says, you know, they happily respond to a bit of effort. And this is another paradox that, yes, sometimes we need a little bit of effort to arrive where there's no effort. We need to educate ourselves to see that we need no further education, or we need to understand that there's nothing to understand. You know, it's a paradox there, but it's true. I believe that oftentimes we need a little bit of effort to arrive where we want to be. Let's keep reading. Then Camilla says, the more scientifically sound advice addresses these factors too, but it also unintentionally gives the false impression that you're able to make yourself sleep by doing certain things, and so creates this frustrating cycle that is difficult to break. I think in that sentence, the way I read this is Camilla saying, okay, in the traditional realm within CBTI, if you look closely, this understanding exists there, but the way it is taught gives people the impression that sleep can be controlled, which is unfortunate. And I think this is a very nice and kind way of expressing things. I'm a little bit more like, I'm a little bit more critical, I think, when I express this, but I think this was, you know, beautifully said by Camilla. She says, insomnia is like a Chinese finger trap, which grips tighter the more you try to pull your fingers away. The only way out of the trap is to go against your instinct and push. Sometimes you have to do things differently to get a different outcome. Here are 7 ways to improve your sleep that might just work as long as you don't try too hard. Very nice little twist there too. All right, so first 1 out of 7 is give up trying to sleep tonight. Camilla says, as brutal as it sounds, there's nothing you can do between now and bedtime to guarantee that you'll sleep tonight. There is, however, plenty you can start doing to improve your chances of sleeping well next month. It takes time to optimize your sleep drive and reduce hyperarousal, and there are no quick fixes. So instead of worrying about the night ahead, make sleeping well a long-term goal and expect to see progress in a few weeks rather than tomorrow, which I think, of course, is very helpful if we expect to see something like, I expect to sleep this way tonight. So much pressure, anticipation, that's tricky. Versus when we have, like, you know, sometime in the future, I believe sleep will happen easier, but I'm not going to focus on that tonight. That's much more helpful. And I do think, you know, reading this, you know, I'm also reminded that, you know, as sleep coaches, we have a little bit, you know, even though we're all, like, you know, certified in the sleep coach school, we have like the same core philosophy, we also see things a little bit differently. I think this, what Camilla said here, reminds me a little bit of like Coach Joseph, who focuses a bit more on like sleep drive and working on things there, which I don't focus so much on. But I think diversity is very, very helpful. Like it's so nice to find a variation of the teaching that suits you or, you know, people out there. So yeah, I think when we try to optimize sleep drive, I think that's tricky. It can lead to effort. And I think insomnia really is about hyperarousal. So I focus much, much on that. But, you know, with that said, I think this was nicely said. Then the second one is breathe less. And Camilla says that there's some evidence that if we slow down our breathing from our regular 12 to 20 per minute to 4 or 5 breaths per minute, we engage the parasympathetic nervous system, which counteracts hyperarousal. And this, to me, this is a tricky one to me, because on one hand, like, to me, this can lead us to think in like the kind of at a level that's not so helpful when we think at like, okay, my hyperarousal comes from, you know, the activity in my sympathetic nervous system. Therefore, I need to counteract that at the level of the parasympathetic nervous system, which I think is not as helpful as thinking in more like big picture, that it's my kind of overall how I think about this affects how I feel, the sort of big picture, rather looking at the specific like neurotransmitters or hormones and things like that, that can be quite tricky, I think. And to comment on the breathing, I think that if we slow down our breathing purposefully to be more present, to be more okay with whatever emotion we have in the moment, that's sort of like meditation or mindfulness, or just, you know, it can be a nice thing, but it can easily lead to like, oh, I'm down to 6 breaths per minute, but I'm still not feeling any more calm. Like, why isn't this? It can lead to effort. So a little bit tricky, that one. You know, again, with the right understanding, everything, it can be helpful. Okay, let's keep reading. Have a late night. It comes up now. And Camilla says, the only thing that generates sleep drive is being awake, and that adults need to be awake at least 16 hours to generate enough sleep drive for 8 hours at night, which, you know, I think what's so helpful here is, you know, presenting this education that the only thing that makes us sleep is actually staying awake. Wakefulness is the only thing that produces sleep because it reduces so much confusion. But a little bit tricky also when we introduce numbers. I do believe that overall, when we go from like spending like, you know, 10 hours in bed trying to sleep to like reducing that and just enjoying our wakefulness more, that helps. Numbers are a little tricky, but the overall teaching, I think, is very helpful. And now she says, wind up your wind down routine. And I love this one. She makes the case that, you know, you may have had an elaborate wind down routine that takes you your whole evening, but maybe you're not even enjoying it, you know? And so maybe like winding it up, you know, spicing it up, like doing something you actually enjoy, you look forward to, can be so helpful when we go from thinking like, okay, I'm going to get in the right mindset mood so that I can sleep. That's basically all effort. But when it becomes like, okay, I'm going to actually do something I enjoy for no other reason, it takes us away from effort. So I think this is a really nice one. And then she says, embrace being awake, which I'm not going to go into detail about, because really this is, you know, a variation of what we call befriending wakefulness, which is one of our core concepts and teachings. And then she says, smile more. And, you know, to me, also a little tricky. Like, I think if we just like, okay, I'm going to smile so that I become more happy, a little tricky. But if we just smile more and we find that, oh, that's nice, no problem there. And then finally, stop reading articles about sleep. Colleen Espy, professor of sleep medicine at Oxford University, defines insomnia as preoccupation with sleep. And then she says, but none of researching, monitoring, or analyzing actually leads to better sleep. In fact, constantly looking for the solution undoubtedly makes things worse. And, you know, to me, like, it's, you know, how should I put it? You know, she quotes somebody who is like well-established in sort of the traditional traditional academia, and I think a lot of the reasons we have a lot of pondering and researching and analyzing is actually from the work that comes from academia. So I think in a way Camilla gives credit where, you know, maybe the credit is more with her than with anyone else, but I don't know, maybe Colin SB would just like totally agree with this has not contributed at all to any confusion in the field. What do I know? I don't know too much of Kolesky's work, although I know the name, of course. So with that said, yeah, wonderful article and really, really hopeful today and optimistic, and seeing that maybe we can actually reach the masses and make a dent in the sleep universe. So yeah, that was Heard Online for today. Hope you enjoyed it and had some takeaway. I'll link to the article in the description, of course. And if you're finding your way to where you want to be, thanks to Heard Online and all the other content we have here, that is amazing. Please share that with us. On the other side, on the other end, if you find things are tricky, you would like some more support, guidance on your path to where you want to be, where sleep happens easily, you feel like yourself again, then please head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com, and you can find coaching options that I hope will suit you perfectly. And if you decide to join, and we look forward to seeing you on the other side. With that said, I hope you have a super nice rest of your day and look forward to having you back soon. Bye for now.